You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Welcome, welcome to the town of Nipaluna.
What?
Here on the River Derwent. Actually, I don't know what the name for the River Derwent is, but it's exciting news here in Hobart because the Tasmanian Aboriginal Corporation came out and gave Hobart a new name, which is actually the old name. Apparently, that the Palawa people, the residents here, the original residents here in Hobart, gave to the Europeans when they landed, and now there's a lot of discussion about whether or not we should have two names. Hobart being one name, very European name, and Nipaluna, which is the Palawa Kani, which is the sort of the reborn Tasmanian Aboriginal language, or at least regional. I'm no expert in this area, I must say. I'm just relying on Mr. Google.
That's all right. But we've got the next hour to talk about it, because that's what our show is all about.
Well,
isn't
there
it?
You go. We're going to be talking about all the games we've been playing in Nipaluna.
What show are we?
On episode 215 of The Dice Men Cometh. And we're here in the Edge Radio Studios on the 31st of May, 2018.
Correct.
I'm Mark.
I'm Leon.
I'm Garth.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or by my traditional name, Garth.
Okay. We've got a lot to talk about.
We sure do. We
don't have a huge because, amount of time. That's right. This is our last show before jetting off next week to BorderCon, exciting Cosmopolitan, Albury, and Wodonga.
We've got our passports ready. We've got our bags almost packed. And we've got our excitement set to 11.
And because of that, we're going to be talking about tonight some of the things we're looking forward to playing at BorderCon. I've got some great games on my list. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
We're also going to talk about an exciting new game that I gave as a present to my partner, and that she's been teaching to all the friends, and I taught to you guys. And it's also a Spiel des Jahres nominee.
Boom. We are hot, hot, hot.
And
what? What are you doing?
I'm rolling this dice. It's awesome. It's got like one. It's got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then in place of a one, it's got a little logo that, it's the same one that I've got on the back of my hoodie today. It's the same one Leon's got on the front of his hoodie.
I didn't know it was Dice Man Hoodie Day. I would have worn mine. So, yes, we have some Dice Man loot that has finally arrived from the shores of the USA. But we should throw to a song. Do you want to thank anyone at all, Mark?
Well, look, I think we should always thank Area 52 because they proudly support us here and we support them. So get in there for, I don't think you can get Dice Men Dice there, but you can get copies of Azul, I'm sure, and many other board games, card games,
Funko
anime,
Funko Pops.
Yeah, Funko Pops. You're role-playing
Is there
ephemera.
Anything else you can get from there, Leon?
Oh, there's probably other things, I think.
Probably other things.
Books.
Yep, all right, well, enough about that. We don't need books. We need rule books, perhaps, but maybe not even for Azul. So we will throw to a song. We are the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and we will be back after this song. Oh, yeah, that was the Sydney City Trash with Without You. They were without us for a little while anyway. You were at the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now, Leon, let's get this show back on the rails.
Yeah.
And throw to Mark, who is the rules explainer from heaven or hell.
Absolutely, that's me. And I'm talking about a little game, as I said. It's a Spiel des Jahres nominee. It is Azul.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, designed by Michael Kiesling, with art direction by Philip Gurin and illustrations by Chris Quilliams.
Okay.
Let me tell you about the...
I'm so glad you didn't make a Will-I-am joke. must have a little bit of you died inside. Yeah,
I was thinking about it, but then I thought, I don't want to mention that guy's name.
There you go. So, introduced by the Moors, Azulejos, which were white and blue traditional ceramic tiles, were fully embraced by the Portuguese. So I think that means they're pronounced Azulejos.
particularly authentic.
That was King Manuel I calling in to tell me the correct pronunciation. and he saw them in a visit to the Alhambra Palace. Talk about other board game references in southern Spain. And he was mesmerized by the beautiful Moorish decorative tiles. And the king, he was awestruck by the interior beauty of the Alhambra. He immediately ordered his own palace in Portugal be decorated in similar wall tiles.
Oh, it's good to be king.
And so Azul brings you a tile-laying artist you get to play to embellish the walls of the royal palace of Évora.
Ooh.
In Portugal somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
So this is an abstract strategy game. It doesn't sound very abstract by that introduction, which is very definitive. But you are basically doing some tiling on
the
bathroom
wall. Competing tilers.
Yeah. So you're collecting tiles from the various factories in the town. And there's a different number of factories depending on how many people you have. You're collecting tiles. You can only collect the same colour of tiles, though, from these factories. And then you're placing them on your player mat in an area to the left, which is the area where you prepare to tile. So you lay out the tiles you intend to tile in the first part of the round, and you go around in a circle until all the tiles have been drawn. Then in the second part of the game, you all simultaneously place your tiles. But there's a little trick, because what you've got is you've got a grid, a 5x5 grid, with a spot for every tile with the colours of the tiles on them.
Yeah, so the colours and the patterns of each tile, and not surprisingly there are, what is it a 5x5
grid?
Yeah,
so
and there are five different
five.
Types of tiles?
There's five different types of tiles.
Most of them blue.
Yeah, well, you've got your blue plain tile, you've got your red plain tile, you've got your white tile with a blue flower, you've got your yellow tile with a red flower, and you've got your black tile with a sort of blue pattern of tiny flowers.
Which we're sure are very, very traditional, but when you look at it from a gaming perspective, you look at it and go, five tiles, at least half of them look exactly the same. What the earth's going on? But then, yes, it's following the theme, so that's fair enough, I suppose.
It could be a colour blindness sort of thing about that as well. Who knows?
I think it's very traditional, but I must admit, when I first looked at it, I thought, gee, they were a bit lazy to only put patterns on three of the five tiles, weren't they? Yeah. But having said that, now that I've played it and I'm used to it, it does look really nice laid out with some patterns and some plain. It's not too gaudy.
Okay.
So the second part of the first part of the turn, you're taking tiles from the factories. You You can only take the same coloured tiles. And when I say colour, like white with a blue flower is a
colour. Exactly the same one. Yeah, because
blue is a colour.
The way you're going to start around is it's just going to be random draws out of the dice bag, which is all a tile bag, really.
Yep.
You'll put four random tiles on these four or five or however many different coasters that are the factories, and then you'll be able to go around and round, and basically as soon as you take those however many of the one colour from each factory, the rest of them go into this central pool, and the central pool potentially gets massive.
Yes.
And can become an incredibly powerful turn, because there might be four or five of those blue tiles that you were after, Leon, then you could just snaffle up in one foul swoop. It's exciting.
Yeah. So then the second part, you've got your little rows. So you can only put your tiles into one of the five rows, and they all have to be the same colour in that row. So once you choose, for example, the bottom row, the fifth row, you can only put, let's say you picked red for the first couple, you can only put red ones in there. And there's a funny little layout where you've got one at the top,
yeah,
two at the bottom,
one, row of two,
three, row of four, row of five down. And you have to basically fill that whole row before you can then place the rightmost tile across onto the bathroom wall, for lack of another word. So you're filling up, trying to get enough to fill up the colours, planning where you're going to move them across. And, of course, on the bathroom wall, you've got a single specific spot for each tile. So it's not like you can just fill up from the right. Because, you might want to do that.
Oh, why?
You get bonus points. So you get points when you place your tile. You get 1 point for the tile. And you get 1 point for it's any that it's adjacent to. And you score, you get one lot of points for horizontal and another lot of points for vertical. So if you have a tile you place which has one above it and one to the right, you'll score two for the horizontal and two for the vertical.
Bang.
Even though there's actually only three tiles there. You can see why this is a spiel des Jahres, because these rules are so simple.
Exactly. Even Mark could almost explain it.
And explained by someone who knows what they're talking
you
about.
You are trying your damnedest, Mark, but you just cannot make this game sound exciting. Oh, God.
Well, look, let me finish, and then we'll go from there. So you get those points when you place the tiles, and then at the end of the game, there are bonus points. Everyone loves end-game bonus points. So you get 7 bonus points if you construct a line of 5 vertical tiles. You get 2 bonus points if you construct a line of 5 horizontal tiles. And you get 10 bonus points if you place all 5 of the one colour of tile.
Yes.
Now, I should say the end of the game is when the first person creates a horizontal line of 5 tiles. So you say, hang on. But you only get 2 points for that. That's right. So the challenge is not to make horizontal lines, but I guess to make vertical lines and also to get the 5 of a kind out.
Yeah, exactly.
To get more points. But, of course, if someone else is watching and they're getting a lot of points just from placing the tiles, they can choose to end the game early to stop that end game scoring. And I guess to me, you know, it is a simple abstract game.
Regardless
of how much I've murdered the rules. To me, the replayability and the joy of this game, apart from the fact that, look, let's get it out there, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Just think of the most beautiful tiled toilet you've ever sat in. Oh, you could play some amazing iOS games in that toilet,
well,
couldn't you?
The fact that, you know, they're big, chunky, sort of like, say, 2 centimetre square tiles. They're made of some, I guess it's like a plastic resin, but they feel really solid. They almost feel like ceramic tile. So they're nice and thick. They're like big mints almost. You could eat them up.
Which we didn't recommend. Although one of us did nearly drink them. If you saw a photo that we took.
So they're big and chunky. They feel lovely in your hand. They're brightly coloured. The board is brightly coloured. You know, you're laying them out on the table. So this game is a visual feast. But it is an abstract game. And I have to say, I am not a huge fan of abstract games.
Well, they're so abstract, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's the problem with most of them.
Yes. But with this I found, because it's simple, because it plays quickly, and because there are some strategic choices about which tiles you take, where you place them, that end game scoring, I have found that the more you get into this game, the more you think about your tile placement as opposed to just getting them out, placing them, ending the game and scoring.
Well, look, thinking about the criteria that the Spiel judges use, which is a game that is easy to pick up, rules light, and the joy of the game and the depth of the game comes from repeat plays.
Yes.
It fits the bill perfectly.
Absolutely.
It must be the favourite to win, which is why it won't win, clearly. But
although it is Michael Kiesling.
It is Kiesling.
He's a big German game designer.
Correct, but it is simple. A normal person can explain it in about 5 minutes clearly, which is not what we've experienced, but it's pretty good. The factories, they're coasters. They don't look like factories at all, but they serve the purpose of putting the 4 tiles out there. And the first couple of times you play it, you're so focused on getting your own little sort of tile placement sorted out, you don't really care about what the other players are doing. But after those couple of plays, you then start making those more tactical and strategic decisions around, oh, Mark's got 4 reds on his lower row, so he needs 1 more red, and there's 1 red, so I better take it to stop him doing that. You're trying to sort of delay your opponents being able to get the tiles that they want. And you've also got the balancing act of, well, the game could end theoretically in 5 turns if someone just decides to fill up that very first row.
Which is very easy to fill because it's only got 1 tile there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much one of those games where every turn somebody takes, there's normally a chorus of, oh, you bloody... which is why I tended not to look too much at the factories and the board until it came around to my turn, because I knew I'd just be sitting there going, no, don't you... you've taken them again. How could you?
You still said it a few times, I must admit.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
and the thing I neglected to mention is you've got on your player board, you've got an area called the floor. And so, of course, what happens to tiles you can't fit on the wall?
They go on the floor?
They fall on the floor. So how the floor works is, if you've, let's say you've got the line that takes three tiles. One round you took two red tiles. The next turn, the only group of red tiles is a two. You must take both of those two. You put one on the spot that's there. The one that doesn't fit has to go on the floor. Now, the thing on the floor is it has negative points on it. So the first couple of spots are worth negative one. The next couple are worth negative two. And so sometimes you will force someone to take tiles which they have to put on the floor if they don't have a space to put them, which is, you know, a little bit of fun, a little bit of bastardiness.
Yeah. It's also the place where the first player marker every round will end up on the floor as well, because that's in the middle of all these factories, so you can pick that up along with a few other tiles, but it does give you negative points straight away.
Correct-a-rooney.
Now, there is a variant, which I haven't played yet, because on the back of the player board, there's another player board. It's exactly the same as the front of the player board,
except the
5x5 grid is grey, just like you, Garth.
There you go. And you can place tiles wherever the hell you
want?
Well,
I think you're not allowed to have more than one colour on each line and each row. So it's, maybe it's a little bit like Sudoku, where, you know, you've got to use all the colours, but you can choose where they go, whereas on the normal player board, there's only one spot.
Gotcha.
So I guess that provides some, I don't know if it's advanced play, but it's certainly a variant to shake things up a bit.
It would definitely change the style of gameplay completely, which would be quite a good, it's almost two games in one when you add that into it, which is a cool thing to do.
And look, this is not a super expensive game. As I said, it's beautiful to look at. I got home from work on Tuesday night. My partner had had some friends come over for a movie night. But before they sat and watched the movie, you know what they did? They sat around the kitchen table and had a game of Azul. Now, most of the friends aren't big board gamers, but I got home, they were right in the middle of it.
There you go.
It was quite funny, though, because they got a rule wrong. And they
had you taught them?
No.
Oh.
And they were scoring, when they were scoring the tiles, they were scoring 1 point for every tile already on the mat.
Wow.
So they were going, oh, this score track only goes to 100. We're about to blow through that only halfway through the game. And I was shaking my head going, how is that even possible? And then they, one person put down one tile and went like, one, two, and counted up to like 25 almost. But hey.
If they were
still,
all doing it.
They still had absolute fun and they went, wow, I really want to play that again. So, it clearly does what it's designed to do.
Well, we played this at the pub the other night with my lovely wife and she really enjoyed it. On the way home, she was like, you're going to buy that? And I'm like, evidently I am. So I've got a copy of it on the way. And it's just thinking, Lisbon's in Portugal, isn't it?
Correct.
Yes.
So you could theoretically, in a day of much fun, you could play Lisboa and rebuild all of Lisbon. You could then play Alhambra and rebuild an Alhambra. You could then play Azul and interior decorate that Alhambra that you've just built in Lisboa.
There you go.
And then if we can find a game just one step further where you can, I don't know.
We can play Pandemic Iberia.
Oh.
Because you could.
And then you can next day come back and do it again.
Exactly.
Hang on.
I think loop craziness.
I think some Spanish people might, Portuguese people might be getting a little bit cranky that we're blending together Spain and Portugal here because the Alhambra was in Spain.
Yeah, but you could build.
Iberia is the Iberian Peninsula, I guess, has Spain and Portugal.
But you could build an Alhambra anywhere you wanted and just say this is an Alhambra, right?
You absolutely could.
So there you go. We were completely fine until you brought it up. Which is normally the way things go.
What do we think about it? You obviously love it, Mark. Leon, what are your thoughts? Not your wife's thoughts. What are your thoughts about this abstract game? Which, again, apart from probably Santorini, it's not a genre you play a lot of.
No, not really. And it's not for the want of... I'm happy to do it. It's just it doesn't really get to the table that often. I really enjoyed it. I was considering buying it even before she demanded that I do. because it is a game that you can play this with. You could play this with kids. You could play this with grandma quite easily. It is very, very simple because your turn is literally which of these tiles do you want? Put them somewhere you want. At the end of the round, maybe for the first few rounds, I'll show you how the scoring and where you place them works and then you're off.
Yeah. Correct.
Bob's exactly. Your uncle and this is a game that... One of those games in our hobby that you'd like to think that, you know, if this was in like a bigger, like department store or whatever, that it could be very theoretically in every gamer's cupboard, because it's just a game you could play for a long, long time.
And speaking of bigger,
oh, miss.
Of course, now they're bringing out the huge version. I don't know how huge they are.
Well, if
I'm hoping they're like pillow size.
Well, if the price is anything to go by, it's not going to matter, because we'll never see a copy out.
Okay,
world. It's like $200-$300.
But it looks,
I mean, so no one's ever going
to. But imagine though, you go to a market or a city square or somewhere, and instead of a giant chess set,
yeah,
you saw a giant Azul set. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes, because the logistics of that are insane. Because exactly. The chess set, you just need a grid and like 40 pieces, whereas this, you would need a lot more.
A large bag you could get into yourself.
Everyone would have to bring their own tarp, which is an individual player board.
All right, we better get on to this before we wrap it up and move to something
else. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, look, this game has already won the French Game of the Year Award, the As d'Or Jeu de l'année. It was nominated for a whole bunch of Golden Geek Awards at the end of last year, which were awarded this year. It did win the Best Family Board Game. And, of course, as we said, it's been nominated for the Spiel des Jahres. So it's going down a treat.
Mm. Is it going to win?
I mean, it should.
Well, I played this before the nominations had come out, and as soon as I started playing it, I went, oh, wow, this is a Spiel game for sure.
Okay.
It just felt like that.
All right.
I agree. I think it should. It may not. I mean, this whole, what is it, the mind or whatever, it seems to be taking the world by storm. I don't know, but if it doesn't win, I think there's something wrong.
All right. Well, that's amazing, Mark. Thank you for that insight. We'll wrap this up. We'll go to a song. We are the Dice Men Cometh. It is Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We thank Area 52. Then we'll come back and talk about a game that sounds horrible when you first discuss it.
Oh, yes.
But is it? Ice. Yeah, well, there you go. That was The Peep Temple with Ray Guns. They're an Australian band. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now, quick on the heels of Azul, it's Leon's turn to tell us about a game he did got recently to the table.
Wow, that's a brilliant broadcasting there. It is a game that he did got to the table.
Perfect.
I have played this game, I think I got it about 2 weeks ago, and every time I've met up with more than one other person, I think I've played, I have played this game now 5 or 6 times, because each round of this game takes, well, literally 4 minutes, because it's on a timer, and to explain it takes about a minute.
Well, do you want to let Mark have a go at explaining it for 20, 30 minutes?
No! So, what I'm talking about is werewords. Now, everyone out there knows that I'm a big fan of werewolf, so much so that I'm a moderator down here in Hobart, and there's a big event this Saturday, the 2nd at Area 52, if everyone should come along. I will mention it again before the end of the show. Don't you worry about that. So, werewords by Bezier Games, the same guys that have done your Ultimate Werewolf version, the one that most people know of. They've also done One Night Werewolf. There's also One Week Werewolf that's on Kickstarter at the moment. So they like a werewolf. So when I first saw this game, and as I saw when I first told you guys about this game, your first response is, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a word game in the style of like werewolf, and it only takes one round. It's like, what on earth are you talking about? So it plays between 4 to 12 people. Now, I've played this with all different numbers. I think between 4 and 8 I've played at the moment, and all the kind of numbers in between. I haven't played any higher than that, and probably wouldn't want to, because once you've got that many people, there's probably other things you can do. That's when you move along to your bangs and your cash and guns and all that kind of stuff. But it might work out. So the way the rules of this game is going to work, and I'm going to remind myself how to do it by the app, because this game uses an app, but you absolutely don't need the app, but it makes things a hell of a lot easier. So what you will do is you'll hand out the secret roll cards to everyone. And just like in a normal game of werewolf, there's your villagers, which is what most people are. Then the main things is there's the werewolves and there is a seer. So there's only one seer, but there could be a couple of werewolves depending on the numbers. And then there'll be a mayor. And what you're going to do when you've handed out all the roll cards, someone will be the mayor. So they flip it over and say, I'm the mayor. That person is going to run that round of the game. They then get another card, which gives them another secret identity. So the mayor could be a villager, the mayor could be the seer, or the mayor itself could be the werewolf. So you could have a werewolf running the game, which is weird. So then what you will do on that little app here, you've got these different categories of words from easy to medium to hard to ridiculous. And you will press on it. You'll press the number of players, which will tell you how many roll cards, which ones you need to put into it, and you'll press play. Then what it's going to do, it's going to tell everyone to close their eyes, like a normal game of werewolf or one night werewolf, and then all these words are going to come up, and it's going to say to the mayor, pick a word. So you'll pick one. So for instance, it could be board game, for instance. You'll press on board game. It'll come up on the screen, big letters, board game. It'll then tell you to close your eyes. The seer will then be told to open their eyes and look at it. They will see the word as well, so they know it's board game. They will get then to close their eyes. The werewolf will open their eyes, and they will see the word to see that it's board game. And as I said before, this game plays between 4 and 10. So in a four-player game, it is possible for 3 out of the 4 people to know what the word is.
And I think that actually happened when we had a couple of games of this on Sunday night.
Which I'm sure is one of the first things that people say and go, well, how does that even work? That's ridiculous. 3 out of the 4 know the word. This makes no sense. Baha! But that's not true. Therein lies the game itself. So what the mayor is trying to do is the mayor, if they're anybody but the werewolf, they're trying to get their compatriots, their companions, to guess the word that the other people don't know, but yet some people do. They're not allowed to say a word, which is the kind of the thing with games these days. It's social interaction, but you're not allowed to speak, which is fine by me. You get this big pile of tokens that are yes on one side, no on the other side. And it's kind of like 20 questions. It's like 20 questions with a theme on it, kind of.
Yep.
So you get these tokens, and when people ask you questions, as we've joked before, we would change the name of this game to Can You Buy It at Bunnings? Yes. Because that is, which is a hardware store for people not in Australia, because the first question people normally ask is, can you buy it in the hardware store? And that narrows it down quite a lot. And you can ask other questions. Could you buy it at a Kmart? Is it a physical object? Is it a person? Is it a feeling? So on. They give you yes or no tokens to try and work you towards the word. They also have one token in their arsenal, which is you're so close, which they can give out when somebody is so close. And then once somebody gets it correct, they press a button and stops the 4-minute timer. Once that happens, the werewolves then reveal who they are. They get to try and pick who the seer is. If they can pick the seer, the werewolves win. If they can't pick the seer, everyone else that guessed the words win.
Mm-hmm.
There's two other ways for the game to end. The timer runs out, or you run out of all the tokens in front of you. If that happens, everyone has to collectively point after a countdown at who they think the werewolves are. If the majority is correct, the villagers win.
Mm-hmm.
If they miss who the werewolf is, the werewolves win. And that's it. That's the entire game. And it is possibly my favourite short party game nearly ever already.
Wow.
It's so good. And the replayability of this game is through the roof, because all you need is, you don't even need this game or this app. You could play this game with a piece of paper and a pencil and a deck of playing cards. You could say the ace is the mayor, the king is the werewolf, the sea is the queen. Hand it out to everybody. Write down the piece of paper, the word that you've thought of, instead of what the game has implied, that maybe you could choose this one if you want,
mm-hmm.
and play it like that. So you could play this for anywhere in the world at any point.
It's so pretty good.
Yeah. So
but you should take it to BorderCon and see if you can max it out.
I might just do that. I reckon I probably will, because, again, you can play it in 4 minutes, teach it in 30 seconds. And I'm pretty sure that this was nominated for, I don't know if it was the Spiel, but I'm sure it was nominated or in the shortlist for something.
It was actually nominated and won.
Right.
The 2017 Golden Geek Best Party Game.
I think that's where I first saw it. I saw it on there, and then I read that and went, really? Because I'd seen a video of this and kind of went, what? Much like I did with Codenames years ago. I watched the video of it and went, yeah, that's the appeal. And then I played it and went, oh, I see it now.
Well, I've had a very similar thing, because I've heard a couple of times now on different podcasts. There are other podcasts out there, believe it or not. They're not as good as us. People talking about Decrypto, which seemed to be a bit of a... At first I thought, it's a bit of a Codenames variant. And everyone says, no, it's so different. And I've heard it explained, and it
doesn't make any sense,
doesn't
does it?
Yeah. Make sense. But everyone says, oh, when you hear this game explained, it won't make sense. But when you play it, it's amazing. And I'm curious to play that at BorderCon. I think it might even be on your list, Leon. You might
not on my short list, but it's on big old list of plays.
But this, I thought, Bezier Games, you know, they've jumped the shark on the worth things.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved it, I have to admit. And I was surprised. I was also very surprised when our good friend Oren, who is just a massive
human
calculator, kept saying he wanted to play this game. He loves it so much. Because I was
not
thinking,
that massive.
So,
that's not very nice, Mark. No.
You know what I mean.
But a fan of this he is. And everyone, I've not played it with anybody yet. Well, Garth hasn't said anything yet. Not played it with anybody yet that hasn't been a huge fan and gone, this game is like, what, like $25? And it sounds ridiculous, but is this damn good and run by an app that tells you how to play it? You can almost sit there, stand in front of somebody, not say how the game works, and just say, the mayor has to be silent, put the token in front of them, press play on the thing, and they'd probably figure it out.
Yeah, the hardest bit is trying to initially figuring out what side you're on and how do I want to make sure my team wins.
Yeah.
That's the most complicated part of this whole game, and that is not complicated at all.
And I should point out that people would think, well, if you're the werewolf and you're the mayor, how the hell does that work? The fact is you can lie. But if people ask questions and they're reminded that you can lie, but if there's a seer out there, they know the word as well. So if somebody says to the mayor, is it a person, and they're a werewolf, and it is a person, and they say no, the seer can straight away go, well, it is a person, I know they're the werewolf, which means even if the timer runs out, whatever, they can just say, I'm the seer, he's the werewolf, he lied about this.
Correct.
So it is, and so it actually makes the words when you're the werewolf a bit harder to pick from, as same as when the mayor is a seer, it makes it a bit easier, because you've got one less ally out there. So it caters to those things, and in the options for this game, you can change it around to have any different combination of, like, the time and the words and stuff. I'm just actually going to press play on this app here now, and I'm clicked on ridiculous words. So I'm just going to see if I'm going to say I'm the mayor, and I'm going to say I am the villager. I'm just going to see what words it comes up and gives me.
Choose a magic word.
So the magic words it's given me is 3-2-1 contact. There's one possible. The next one is TI.
Ooh.
What? The next one is, I'm guessing, Twilight Imperium?
I don't know.
The calculator.
The next titanium. The next one is Joy Division.
Okay.
The next one is. Shut up. The next one is Old Boy, and the next one is. I can't even pronounce that word. What's that final word?
Embouchure.
Yeah. So that's the ridiculous words. Then it goes down to easy, which are things like mop, cabinet, like, you know, president, that kind of stuff. So. Yeah.
From what I've seen of this app, I would have to say it is one of the absolutely best app integrations in a board game. Because, I mean, as you said, it almost is the game. I'm curious to see what the game looks like without the app. Can you actually play it without the app?
I believe I said it about 3 minutes ago, yes.
No, but I mean with the, like, obviously if you have a deck of cards and you're basically making your own game, what I'm saying is the actual. The game when you
paper, I guess,
game when you buy it. What comes in the box?
Basically, it comes is the tokens, the yes, no, maybes tokens, as well as the tokens for the roles, which again you can figure out a way to fault them. And then, then there's the rule book, which says about downloading the app. So the app is where you get the words from.
Okay,
yeah. But I don't actually read all the rules from cover to cover, even though there's like 2 pages in there. Because why do you need to? But it would just probably say you can come up with a word yourself to make it a bit more fun.
Yeah.
And we had the thing was that. They say you hand out the mayor, you know, you do it at random, but at certain times people are just like, I want to be the mayor and try a ridiculous word and so on. But also, you can make your own words and put them in the app, and then you can put the custom word list, into the game so they could come up randomly or not.
Yeah.
So it's
so werewords turns blue.
So it's endless, and the fact that there's thousands of stuff. Also, just to wrap up on this, there was a Kickstarter edition, which I'm annoyed now because I didn't play this game until it only finished like a month and a half ago, and it was for a deluxe version of this for Werewood. So it had new art, which is, I mean, the art in this game is fine as it is, but whatever. There was new roles, which is something interesting. There's actually also a beholder and somebody else in this game as well, but you don't use them until you're up to new 9 or 10. They're just kind of extra helping allies. So you have them, and there were some extra roles, like there was the thing, which is the hand,
from
like the Addams Family.
Yeah.
And their ability, I think, is that they tap somebody on the shoulder next to them, which just lets you know. And then there's things like Masons, which are in the normal werewolf game, which is you open your eyes and you know who other good guys are. So if they start asking questions, you can kind of go, oh, so I'm going to follow their train of thought. So that kind of stuff. Yeah, you can play up to 20 players, why would you? You could be playing werewolf. Why? And I don't see how this game would work sitting around with 20 people yelling out words and you throwing tokens to them.
You can pre-order it, Leon, so maybe you can go and do that. You can pre-order this deluxe version.
But there are a few other things. There's a way, way off token, which I want. I want to make one of them for myself just to put in the game. There's a two-player mode, which I haven't looked into yet, but that's always interesting. So apart from then three players and solo, you could play this game with any number of people. There's a playmat, which I don't really see the purpose of.
But it looks
cool. But it looks nice. Well, that being said, there is also a plushy werewolf that you can buy, which looks kind of cool. And there's a werewolf crossing sign, which I think I'm actually going to try and buy because I think that's pretty cool as well.
There we go.
So, yeah, that came up, the deluxe edition. But again, not that much money. I think it was like $25, which would be US, so $30 or $5 Australian. Deluxe edition, then shipping probably another $10 on top of it. So say $50 for a deluxe edition. And then this normal edition, I think I got for about, I think it was 30 for a game that has got that much replayability that's just absolutely through the roof. So this, between this and When I Dream, which I bought earlier in the year, two party games that ain't ever leaving the collection.
Yeah, well, I think I saw it's already at number 32 in the party game list on BGG, so it's been rocketing up the charts. Now, look, I had a lot of fun with it as well. It was certainly a hit at the table, and I've only played it the one time with the three of us plus your wife, Leon. And it was awesome. The words were a really varied selection. So I reckon the app is indispensable. You need to have that just to get these completely random words out there. Otherwise, it might slow things down a little
bit. Well, put it this way. We're going to drive up to Bordercon from Melbourne. It takes 2 or 3 hours. We could play this game in the car.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to close your eyes. You just have to hold the... Because the app doesn't actually say out loud anything except for the rolls. You can just hide it and then... I suppose it would be
Mayor, because I was thinking the mayor could just say yes or no.
Yes, so that takes the tokens away from it, and then that's pretty much it. The only problem would be, I suppose you could probably pull on the dashboard in the car and just have like the driver look not at that for the time being.
We'll figure it out next week.
Yeah. But either way, the fact that you could do that, and you could do it with a deck of cards, you don't need anything. It's just, somebody's hit an absolute winner here. It just happens to have Werewolf on there, so don't let
that be Ted Auspach, wouldn't it? I mean, he's designed a few successful games in his past.
Well, I was going to say, my first thought, I thought, you don't need the werewolf theme.
It could
easily be like a spy theme or something.
It could be anything.
Obviously, spy themes are big these days. But, from my initial impression of no way, this is an absolute way.
Well, if Bezier have put out 4 or 5 different versions of One Night Werewolf, and which is fine, a game, it's all right. This is an absolute belter as far as I'm concerned, so I'd be happy to see them bring out more versions of this, just more packs on the apps for different words and stuff. And there are also custom lists you can download that other people have created as well.
Awesome.
So I straight away went on there, and there's first things on the list were like DC superheroes, and then it shows you the level of difficulty on the side. So there was DC medium, DC ridiculous, and I clicked on the ridiculous one, there was like 10 people's like, never heard of any of this. But if that's the thing you're really into, because it's up there, I said when I first... told you guys about it. It's up there with me with your coup and like your Perudo Liar's Dice. This is a game that you can sit down and it's a 5-minute game, but you could spend 4 or 5 hours on the source playing this, laughing your
head off. You could play this all night have a fun night.
Yep,
fantastic.
Exactly.
Well, thanks, Leon. We're going to go and throw to another song before we get to talk about all those games that we will be playing around about this time next week.
Mm-hmm.
So before we do that, let's go and listen to some music. We are the Dice Men Cometh, and this is Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
When I grow up, I'm going to be the warden of the oversized public chess fair.
Hello, everyone. Sorry to interrupt, but it is your friendly neighbourhood Leon here. I just wanted to take a few seconds to remind our old listeners and to all our new that you can support the Dice Men Cometh on Patreon. You can jump over to thedicemencometh.com and there is a link sitting there on the front page. You can give as little or as much as you want every month, and we are very, very appreciative. I myself do it for several different podcasts, and a dollar or two comes out and I don't even notice. And I can tell you right now that if everyone listening to my voice right now only gave us a dollar every month, we would be very, very happy, lads. And every cent that you spend goes straight back into the show. We've been using it, as well as the advertising from our lovely sponsors, to go all around Australia to see you guys at every convention we can get our hands on, and hopefully we might even be doing it internationally soon, so watch this space. Also, you could jump over to redbubble.com and search for Dice Men, and you can get our logo onto all different kind of merchandise. We ourselves have them on t-shirts and hoodies and coffee cups and stuff, and they're really cool, and that's another way you can support us as well. The show has grown leaps and bounds in the last year or so, and it is thanks to the effort and support of you lovely people out there. You keep giving and keep giving us material, and we will keep doing the show. So, love to all of you, and now back to the action.
That was a class act called the Muddy Turds. They want to be the warden of the oversized public chess set when they grow up, and that's also the name of the track here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, where you are listening not to the Muddy Turds, but to the Dice Men Cometh. And
a different style. We're shiny, well-polished turds, I think, aren't we?
Damn right.
Someone described to me the other day that political correctness was describing how to pick up a turd by the clean end. But anyway, I wanted to say we are, of course, supported by Area 52 and Edge Radio, but Area 52 with their amazing collection of Funko Vinyl Pops. If you're into the Funko Vinyl Pops, you got to get in and check them out. But they also have comic books anime, manga.
I have bought in the last couple of months every D&D book for 5th edition.
There you go. They've got role-playing, bits and pieces.
Stuff, Fables not too long
ago. They've got board games. They've got it all. So check them out at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart. That's all I need to say.
But if you're not in Hobart anymore and you're going to be in Albury, Wodonga this time next week.
Because not so much Wodonga. We don't care about that.
Okay, but Albury at least. Yeah. But this time next week, because why wouldn't you be? Because that's where all the fun is at.
Correct.
We're going to be there and we're going to hopefully be playing a whole plethora of new games we have not played before.
So correct.
We've taken the liberty of writing. A few weeks ago mentioned, I think we've about 40 games I have made a list of that I'd like to play. We've whittled that down to a few each. So, Garthy boy, would you like to start?
Well, yeah, but before we do that, just a little what is BorderCon for anyone who doesn't know and has been living away from the BorderCon scene and under several rocks that have got rocks on top of them.
Or has never listened to our show because we bang on about it a bit.
It's a small convention right on the border between New South Wales and Victoria. It's about 200 gamers held at the Hoveltree Inn. We usually sleep within 100 metres of the game room. We drive up to Melbourne. We generally try and take the scenic route in at least one direction to avoid the highways and hit the dirt road at least.
this time, hopefully.
This convention last year sold out in about 20 minutes,
was it?
Yep.
So they've done a little bit of a recap, and they've combined this year for an invite percentage and a new gamer percentage, and it's going to be interesting to see how that works. It is a sellout, not surprisingly, and we're all looking forward to it because it's something that we've all been going to now for several years. Mark, you'd be the one who's leading the way there.
This is my 5th year, I think.
Yep, it's my 3rd.
Yeah,
it'll
be my 4th. Yep. So we're getting on. We're almost locals there. But yes, the whole point of this is to figure out what games do we want to play. Now, I'm going to start with one that I will always play, and it will be a BorderCon tradition, and it is Cosmic Encounter.
Yes.
It's probably the game that I will always have on my list to play at BorderCon because it is such a blast. Mm. I love it. Give us all those red aliens, the most game-breaky ones out there. Sit down at a table of people who know Cosmic and let's just have a hell of a lot of fun for half
an
hour and a half.
It's a hell of a convention game, even though it's not, you know, it doesn't take 5 minutes to play. It takes an hour or more, but it's convention-wise, it's great to get into the swing of this thing. And I will be sitting, hopefully not next to you, but near you in that exact same game on that exact same table. At least the once during that week.
Yeah.
Marky so, boy.
That's one of the few games.
Oh, Cosmic Encounter.
No.
Yeah, I'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, that'll be one of the few games, if not the only game, that I will have played before. That's my goal. My goal is to play almost nothing but new stuff.
Yeah, well, my goal is always to play as many new games as I can. One of the ones I'd love to get to the table, there's probably only select few people have this game or even are interested, that's Pendragon. It's the latest coin series game from GMT set in Arthurian England, not the fabled Arthurian times, but the sort of the real Arthurian times in about, 600 or 700 AD or something like that, sure. I think it might be. I love the Coin series. Last year at Coin, we got to play Falling Sky. Is it Skies or Skies?
Sky.
Falling Sky. And I'm so hoping if I can put aside the 4 or 5 hours maybe
you might get
it
a
might
turn.
Take.
Yeah.
I really want to see how that plays and how it's different to the other coin games.
Well, I do have that game.
I know.
It's still in my pile of shame in shrink, but I do want to play it as well because, again, I had so much fun playing Falling Sky last year. I'll happily go and do Pendragon again.
You just don't want to learn how to play it.
Well, I want... What was it, Adam? I want Adam to teach us. I want
Adam
Tim
and
to
Tim.
Teach us.
They taught us last time.
So they better be there and they better have their teaching hats on and sit down at the table for 5 hours of one turn each.
Okie doke. So a game I've got on my list, there's actually a version at the moment on Kickstarter, which is the version that has a new expansion plus every single thing, and that is Heroes of Land, Sea and Air.
Oh, I've heard a lot about
by
this.
By Gamelin Games. For years people have said, your tiny epic range, we love it, but why don't you make it a proper normal size? These games are good, just make a normal size board game. And they went, fine, we bloody well will. And we'll put lots of minis and stuff and make it like area control and make it look really cool with art and bring out lots of expansions with other cool races and stuff. So that's what they did. I don't actually know anyone that's played this game, but I would absolutely hope that at least one person brings it along so I can play it. I'm hoping that I play it and I love it because then I can get on Kickstarter because the Kickstarter's still got another by the time we finish at Bordercon, it's still another 2 weeks or more in it. And it's only just over $200 Australian for everything. And that's including like 10 races, each with like 10 or more minis. Yeah. Plus all the artwork's amazing and stuff. So it's price-wise, that's actually pretty damn good. Yeah. And I've been told the game's good. I just like to see it in action.
It certainly looks beautiful enough, and I certainly hovered over the pledge now for the first edition.
So did I many times, and then the second one came out with the expansion for... Oh, sorry, that was the same Kickstarter, with the expansion, which had all like a lion folk army and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, so close. But it just at the time, I think I was backing everything else in the world, so it got pushed to the wayside. Garth, what next?
Oh, the list just got longer because I thought of another one. So let me write it down and talk about it. Sidereal Confluence.
Oh, yes.
So a lot of people say that Chinatown is the game of economics and communication and bargaining and haggling. But Sidereal Confluence, which now plays up to 9 players in an all-out negotiation fest, I think that would be too many people for a very first game, but if anyone has Sidereal Confluence and has it at Bordercon, that is my kind of game, all about negotiating. Honestly, of course, honest negotiation, kind of like in Cosmic Encounter, yeah. But that is my cup of tea.
See, this to me sounds like a gamer's version of Cosmic Encounter.
Okay, so you want to be in it, do you?
I absolutely do. look, I'll go to my next one, Clans of Caledonia.
More
now, obviously, this is a...
farming game.
It's sort of a farming game.
It's sort of.
Sort of a
look
economic...
Look at that board, so much green.
I did think it was tile laying, but no, it's the board just has the hexagons on it. I've just heard a lot of really, really good things about this game. It's nothing particular. It's just, I guess, you know, it's a hotness.
It's the new farm game.
It's, you know, farming for fun and profit. I just really want keen to give it a try. It's sort of that, you know, it's a mid-level, I think, economic game set in Scotland, and aren't all the best games set in Scotland?
Oh, some are set in the Celtic world, like Inish.
Yeah. There you go.
I have a copy of that turning up at my door tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yes. What, Clans of Caledonia?
No, Inish.
All right, Leon.
We need to have 2 copies of that in this little group.
Oh, so we could make it a mega game and play 8 or 10 people.
That's
a
brilliant idea.
Great.
Right, next on the list. It was the first game I played at last year's Bordercon. I think it still ended up being my game of the convention, which was Clank.
Yep.
Since then, Clank has gone on and done a few different things, mainly Clank in Space, which we haven't played yet.
No.
And there's a new expansion for that, which wouldn't be there yet, Clank in Space Apocalypse. But I would like to give this one a crack because the first one was so good, and it's one of those games I don't own a copy of it, but I would like to, but they're already starting to bring out so many expansions and the money thing, and just but I would love to have a crack at Clank in Space, and I'm pretty sure it will be there.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. All right, next on my list, the Gaia Project, which is the successor to Terra Mystica, but it is Terra Mystica in space. That doesn't look as pretty to me as Terra Mystica. Give me the Terra Mystica look, but I want to try that mechanic in the space environment.
Yep.
I'm 100% sure that there will be a copy of that swinging around, so just need to find someone to teach it to
me. I absolutely want to try that one as well. I've heard so many good things about it. For me next, sticking in the sort of mid to heavy Euro, because that seems to be where we struggle. Because we're playing new games all the time and these games take a bit to learn, we often don't get those ones to the table. This one, Rajas of the Ganges by Inca and Marcus Brand. So they made Village.
Yeah.
They made, obviously, the Exit series. This is a dice worker placement. It's got little cardboard elements.
It does
elements,
look purdy.
Little cardboard elephants. Does look absolutely gorgeous. And look, Inca and Marcus, I don't know a game of theirs that I don't like. So I'm really keen to try that one. I don't know much more about it, except it looks gorgeous. It's by the brands. I think it's going to be great.
Yep. So another one on my list, that a game that I know I'm playing with our friends of the show, Melissa and Fraser, on Sunday morning. I've wanted to play it for a very long time. It's an old game. Is Le Havre. It's the Euro game that a lot of people will say is one of the cream of the crop of the Euro world, has been for a long time, and it's one that I've always been interested in playing, and I've just never got around to doing it. So I saw the other day they put up on Facebook that the games that they are bringing, that stuff that they definitely want to play and who wants to be in and when, and I saw that, and I saw they were playing that Sunday morning, and I went, yes, Sunday morning, perfect time for that as well. I will be in on that game.
Yeah, nice. It's good. I have played it. It is good.
Yeah. Ooh. It might even be the one Euro game that I end up owning if I like it that much, but let's not go crazy just yet.
Exactly. All right, well, I'll go next. Import-Export, which is a Glory to Rome clone about importing and exporting. That's all I know about it. But if it's a Glory to Rome clone and it's about importing and exporting, it has to be fun. So that's what I'll be playing, hopefully. It is going to be there according to the BorderCon BGG lists.
Okay.
So that's good to know.
Well, look, another one that came out, it was one of the hotnesses out of Essen last year. There might have been one copy of it at PAX, maybe, maybe not. I'm very excited to buy it. It's about llamas set in the Andes, or are they alpacas? I can get them confused. It's alpacas or llamas. It's Altiplano. It's a bag-building game where you're drawing stuff out of the bag. Is it dice? Is it tokens? I'm not really sure, but it's got a gorgeous llama on the cover.
Or an alpaca.
or an alpaca.
Does it spit at you?
I don't think so because it's cardboard. Okay. Maybe there's a little flicking thing. But look, it looks gorgeous and colourful. And as I said, it was one of the hotnesses out of Essen last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to give that a try. Altiplano.
All right, so I'll just quickly run through. As I said the other week, there was about 30 games I had. I'll just give you a couple. Ex Libris.
Yep.
Want to get to the table. Bunny Kingdom. Want to get to the table. Rising 5. I want to get to the table. Our friend Richard, who we'll be playing Cosmic Encounter with, is also bringing Zaya, the Drift System game.
Yep.
I'm in on that. And he's also bringing Thanos Rising.
I'd like to give that a go.
So I'm in on that. And also, hopefully on the Saturday night, hopefully after a few beers, we can get the Luchador Championship going. I've already worded up the competitors from last year that a rematch should be going down, and I am looking forward to that more than nearly anything else. Hopefully we can get that sorted.
All right, well, I'll just run through a couple more. Pulsar 2849,
yep.
Reworld. I'd like to give Wasteland Express Delivery Service a go, Mark.
Yeah,
still intrigued.
I am going to be playing Battlestar Galactica, and I will definitely not be a Cylon, maybe. I would like to finally get a game of Food Chain Magnate.
Yeah.
Out of my system and give it a go, really. Orleans. Still haven't played that game from a couple of years ago by, who'd be GMT? TMG. Sorry, TMG. But I can't also not mention we're going to play Snake Oil, guys.
Oh, yeah.
With the winners of our BorderCon competition.
Yeah. Who are coming all the way from just another country, isn't it?
Virtually from WA.
Yeah, which
they are coming to play Snake Oil, so I'm very excited to play that game with those prize winners. That'll be cool. And then finally, there's three Kennerspiel games that we've got to try and play if they're there. So there's Heaven and Ale, there's Glanshon Clever, and there's Die Quacksalber von Quacklenburg or something. Crazy Doctors. If there are copies of it, I know there's going to be Heaven and Ale.
Yes.
I'm hoping there'll be Glanshon Clever. I don't know about the third one.
Well, the other one that I wanted to get to the table was The Mine, the Spiel.
Do you want
nominee.
To get it to the table?
Well, I have to play it to see what it's like.
Yep.
The third Spiel nominee is the other Luxor.
Yep.
I know there's a Kickstarter at the moment for like the second edition of that or an expansion, so I'm sure someone's going to have that there. I guess at least I want to see it, just like we did with King Domino 1 or 2 years ago. And have you guys played Flamme Rouge?
Yeah, I played it at PAX.
Yeah.
It's great. I played it a couple of times.
I have never played Flamme Rouge. Everyone absolutely raves about it.
I've almost bought it about 100 times from
Area 52.
And
there's the new Peloton expansion. So if that's there, I'm certainly going to try and jump into a game with that.
It's a great game, yes. All right, well, on that bombshell, we have to say goodbye for 2 whole weeks. So you won't hear us next Thursday, although we may have a little surprise in store for anyone who's kind enough to listen to the podcast. And on that note, I am Garth.
I'm Mark.
I am Leon, and I will see you all at Area 52 on Saturday night for some lynching and murdering and biting.
Exactly.
And then we will play Werewolf.
And we will see all of you, or at least about 200 of you, at BorderCon about this time next week. We are out of here, so bye.
Bye.
Hoya.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support The Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon, for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.